Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Is there a amount of money that you would turn down for something? Because I don't know if you saw this or not.
My wife was asking me about this guy. She goes, what's with the French guy and his pole vaulting penis? And I'm like,
Well, he was offered $250,000 for a porn deal.
Yeah.
After he went viral with his pole.
Mm-hmm.
Impressive.
Impressive. You got to take that, right? $250K for 60 minutes of work? You're saying no?
60 minutes of work?
Yeah, 60 minutes. That's all they wanted out of him, was a 60-minute session.
That would take me 60 days.
They would give him $250,000.
You say yes or no?
Oh, hell yeah. Why wouldn't you? It's $250K for an hour of work? That's pretty good.
Easy.
That's better than minimum wage.
Yeah. Fesco in the morning.
You know, like, if, especially for an Olympic pole vaulter, right? Like, who's going to think about this guy in 2 weeks? Uh-oh. I don't even know what his name is. So you got to take the money when you can.
Yeah.
You know, like, Huck Tua girl's out there cashing in.
I just heard she made, I heard she made $100K on SummerSlam weekend for the WWE.
So why can't this guy cash in? He's a legit Olympian. She was just somebody who went viral for going Huck Tua.
Mm-hmm. Anthony Amoretti is his name.
Isn't that a drink, the Amoretti Sour?
Yeah. I think that's how you say it. Amirati. You're the one that's been to France.
Yeah.
Anthony Amoretti.
Amoretti. Well, sure.
Has been offered a porn deal worth $250,000 after the French pole vaulter went viral at the 2024 Olympic Games in Paris. Yeah. Why not? Get it while you can.
You got to get it while you can, because the window for a lot of these Olympic athletes, like, ends on Sunday. Out of sight, out of mind. That's the American culture, right? That's the society in which we're in right now. Somebody does something like that, they're going to get offered money. Mm-hmm. The Huck Tua girl does something like that, she's going to get offered money. You've got to capitalize when you can, because those windows don't stay open very long. In 2 weeks, everybody will forget about this.
We'll get back into the Royals in a little bit, as Matt Quatrero will join us at 9 o'clock, as he does every Wednesday. But before we do that, can we reevaluate how many games the Broncos win? Can we go back into that? Do you think they win over 5?
No.
The Broncos are listing Jared Stidham as their starting quarterback. Bo Nix, the guy that everybody loves, is the third string.
Uh-huh.
Is that
one of those, like, Sean Payton's channeling his inner Bill Parcells and saying, you've got to go out there and earn it, and I'm not going to put you at the top of the depth chart because you're a rookie?
I think you know the answer to that question. I think you know the answer to that question is Sean Payton didn't work out with anybody but Drew Brees, because Drew Brees was just a Hall of Fame talent. Since then, Sean Payton has been irrelevant, and now we have a situation in Denver where they've drafted a new quarterback out of Oregon, a little bit older than others, mm-hmm. and now you have this guy named Jared Stidham, who's now the starter in Denver. Again, it's preseason, it's training camp. We haven't even seen a real game be played. We haven't seen a real game at all be played. And
But it's what's going on right now.
This is the conversation in Denver.
Right. This is the conversation. Right? Absolutely. And it should be.
And you think about all the teams that are having conversations about their quarterbacks. Like, I think the Chargers just signed a guy from the UCL.
Yeah, that's right.
He's going to start by week 4.
Yeah, right.
Because Herbert's going to be out with a foot injury.
Right.
Catastrophic explosion over there in L.A. Just wait. Grab your popcorn. Have it ready. Denver, also in your division,
mm-hmm.
quarterback controversy against names like Jared Stidham
right.
and a rookie.
Right.
And then Vegas is Gardner Minshew and what's that guy's name that didn't complete a pass? Aiden Richardson?
Aiden O'Connell.
Aiden O'Connell.
Not bad.
That's the AFC West.
Yeah.
Do you think those three teams combined have more wins than the Chiefs this year?
Combined.
Ooh, that's a good one.
So if they all win 5 games, that'd be 15.
I'll say no.
Collect. Okay.
Yeah, I'll say yes. Yes. Yeah.
But the thing that's interesting, if you do say yes, how many more is it? If the Chiefs go 14-3, let's say the Chiefs go 14-4. Is it 14-3?
14-3, yep.
14-3. The Broncos go 5-whatever.
5-12.
The Raiders go 4-13. Peyton's okay. fired.
That's 9.
And then the Chargers win 5.
So that'd be tied at 14.
I mean, if you have Justin Herbert, and I'm just saying from a preseason long shot standpoint, if Herbert's not your quarterback with zero people to throw, I mean, Quentin Johnson's getting booed by his own team in training camp. Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew is going to lead you with Davante Adams and a team that's ready to explode. And then you go to Denver, who's got Jared Stidham starting. And then you have the Chiefs, who are just ready to go do a three-peat. It's insane to think that's the division they have to compete with.
It's also insane that the Denver Broncos would peddle Jared Stidham as their starting quarterback. And if he ends up being the starting quarterback, here's my message to Denver fans. Take the year off. And you're not considered a fair weather fan if you check out on your team when they're rolling out Jared Stidham to be the quarterback. That is like the cruel and unusual punishment for any sports fan to have to watch Jared Stidham play quarterback for their team. And with the cost of sports these days and the time that people invest into their teams these days, you are not a fair weather fan if you look at that in Denver and you go, you know what I'm going to do? Not this year. I'll come back when you guys decide to put a real player on the field, because I'm not going to spend my hard-earned dollars to go watch Jared Stidham be the quarterback. I tell Raider fans that, but there are none.
To me, it's just all the bad teams keep getting worse. Like, you look at the Giants camp. If they don't start Drew Lock, they're going to be in trouble. Daniel Dimes.
I don't know about that. Drew, let's come on now. Just because he's from here doesn't mean he's the savior of the franchise.
I mean, he's pretty good. He's pretty good.
I don't think he's that good.
I think Jared Stidham's better than Drew Lock.
Yeah, Drew Lock is not a starting quarterback in this league.
He was really good for Seattle last year. Really good for Seattle last year. But this is the problem with the rest of the teams around the NFL with the Kansas City Chiefs. It's not their fault. Their division is the worst division.
No, not at all.
Nope.
And you could have an argument to say, no, it's the NFC South. I think there's three teams in the NFC South better than the three teams outside of the Chiefs in the NFC West. And that's tough because the NFC South is not that great.
The NFC South, you said?
Yeah. Saints, Bucks, that whole division, Falcons. I think Falcons are the Falcons better than all the other three teams in the NFC West?
Yeah, yes.
Saints better than the other three teams in the NFC West?
I don't know.
I think so.
I mean, are you buying into
Bucks better than the other three teams in the AFC West?
I mean, by default, man.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's just, and then you have Carolina. That's the only one that I'd probably put where it's like, that's probably the equivalent to the Broncos, maybe. They're probably in the same boat. Yeah. I mean, Stidham, Bryce Young, where do you go?
Yeah.
Take the season off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think that's where you look at this thing, because that's why it's so much easier for the Chiefs to win or a chance to be a three-peat, because the Patriots got this sort of blessing too back in the day. AFC East was trash.
Mm-hmm.
Dolphins were relevant for a couple of years.
Like, the Dolphins haven't won any playoff games since 2000.
Fair. And that's what I'm saying, but the Jets were
at least in the mix. They went to 2 AFC championship games in that run.
Yeah, they had the Sanchez and Rex Ryan had his feet working and all that sort of thing.
And then Buffalo was totally irrelevant. Trash.
Very bad.
Not much better, not different than they are now. Also, New England had a fight against themselves because they were cheating the whole time, so they were dealing with ways to cheating, so they had to beat themselves at times too to make that nobody caught them cheating. So there was a lot going on up there.
And that's
take away anything from anybody playing their schedule in professional sports. It's not Bill Snyder scheduling the Sisters of the Poor, okay?
If you had to put your money on it, before we wrap this subject up, would you think the Chiefs go undefeated in their division?
Absolutely. Because the last game of the season.
That was my follow-up.
I was going to say.
5-1.
Five and one. The only loss they'll have is because the Carson Wentz. Honestly, Carson Wentz should beat the Broncos. I think the Denver Broncos are the worst team in the league next year.
Would you rather have Carson Wentz or Jared Stidham?
Carson Wentz any day.
I mean, that's that. In a nutshell, is the conversation
exactly.
I mean, that's how.
And I'm not a huge Carson Wentz fan. Like I, you know, we saw it go south in a couple different locations, and the stuff that came out of Indianapolis about him is a little concerning. But he's a backup here, so it really doesn't matter. But if you're talking about sheer talent alone, like you just ask the question, who gives you a better chance to win, Carson Wentz or Jared Stidham?
Carson Wentz.
Yeah. So that's what I'm telling Bronco fans. Like, if Stidham's your starting quarterback, take the year off, man. Nobody's gonna fault you for it. You shouldn't have to pay that kind of NFL prices to go watch CFL football.
Yeah.
I do think Bo will start week one, though. That is my guess.
Well, not as of right now.
You think Nix will start, you said?
I think Nix will start week
well,
one.
Well, it's look,
I would
Sean
take that
Payton
bet.
Comes from the Bill Parcells school of coaching, right? He worked for Bill Parcells. And Bill Parcells was always like, you got to go out there and earn the label on the side of your helmet. That's why Pioli did that. Todd Haley did all that. They put the Chiefs logo on the helmet.
You have to pick up Snicker wrappers in the elevator.
You got to find a way to go out and earn your job. And we're not just going to give this to a rookie and give it to him on the depth chart. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you this. You got nothing else going on out there in Denver right now. Why not tell the rookie he's the damn starter and let him go out there and work with the unit that's number one to get better? Like, I've never understood that.
Yeah, and now Bob's telling us that since he's from the Parcells group, when the Broncos are 0-8, Sean Payton's going to come to the media and say, our record doesn't implicate the team that we are.
No. You will. You're 0-8. You're 0-8. Yeah. That's the Parcells school. I mean, that's what it is. Bill Parcells was talking to, I think it was Peter King at the Urinal. And Peter King was the one who actually not broke the story years ago, but had the conversation. Ah, you're better than 3-12. And Bill Parcells says, no, we're not. Our record is our record.
Yep.
You are what you are. You're not better than that. If you were, you'd be better than 3-12.
From the 816, Drew Lock's arm is golden. Praise be. My guy.
Jeez.
Love me some Drew. Coming up on the other side, he is the brioche of Lee Summit. coming up on the other side here on Fesco in the Morning, we get back into the Royals. Mac Trero at 9. Plus, there's a new burrito at a stadium that I just cannot fathom has any sort of run to you hear Bob's grunt. I'll tell you what it is. Dusty Likens, Mac Morey, Bob Fesco. You're listening to 610 Sports Radio. Hopefully the edited version. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey with you today on a beautiful Wednesday, one of the greatest days of the year, August 7th. No bias.
None at all.
Also a Wednesday, so it's way back Wednesday, 913-586-7610. You request a song, you being the listener, to that number, 913-586-7610, and leave your name, and then Mac will give you his praise. And Mac, we are now at where on the way back Wednesday?
And now we praise Caleb from Parkville for this song request. This is Rough Riders Anthem by DMX.
R.I.P. I feel like Fesco might have had a Rough Riders chain. The big capital
no.
R.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
All right.
I love DMX. What was he at? Like Woodstock 99 when they did that documentary?
Woodstock 99.
Oh, man. That one's a good one.
They brought him up. They're like, yeah, he was really good. Then it was just like south from there. Like, way south.
Who was it? Oh, gosh.
Limp Bizkit.
What was the band that got everyone just...
Limp Bizkit.
Really,
they said,
was it?
Don't play break stuff.
Yes.
And then he went out there. He's
so good.
He elevated them, and then the Red Hot Chili Peppers went out there and they burned everything.
Why would you ever tell a band not to play something at a concert? Like, what do you think they're going to do?
Yeah.
Do not play this song. Oh, that's what we're opening with.
From the 913, Dusty, is there a reason you sound like a grandmother today from your boy Skinny Penis? I have no response. Somebody once told me I sound like Jeffrey Penner. I don't know what that
Who
means
Who is
either.
Jeffrey Penner?
41 News, weather guy.
Oh, I'd have to watch local TV.
Yeah, I don't know.
I watch the weather. I watch local news like every night.
Why?
Because I'm a grandma.
You must be.
Yeah, apparently.
You must be.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse for your mental health than television news.
No, there is.
Oh, I disagree.
I watch the news, and then I watch Wheel of Fortune, and then I watch the Royals,
oh,
dude.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I swear.
Grandma Dusty over here.
Yeah. But I'll drink like your grandpa. And I'll go to bed like your dad. Wake up with your mom.
Watch the local news. Talk about mental trauma. Like it really like.
I like Kevin Holmes.
Who?
Kevin Holmes.
Never heard of him.
He does a lot of good things. He has a shoe foundation for unfortunate kids.
Cool.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Awesome.
Jeff Penner is Walter Pennington's dad.
Ah, okay.
There gotcha. You go. Now we know who he is. But you are listening to Fesco in the Morning. Dusty, Bob, and Mac with you. Tonight, different angle on the Royals game. Tonight, a must win?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it is. No, I think, I you know, people would say, oh my God, that's hyperbolic and stuff. No, it's a must win game. You've lost two games now to the Red Sox, who trail you now by a half game for the final playoff spot. You want to get a win against these guys. You don't want to go into an off day on Thursday with three straight losses to the Red Sox. And really, what would it be at that time losing four of your last five, right? Uh-huh. Because you lost Saturday, you won Sunday barely, but you won. That's all that matters. And then you lose three to the Reds. No, it's the first must-win game of the year, I think, for these guys. And I think for the fan base, too. Like, if they get swept by the Red Sox and then have that off day, I think you kind of lose a lot of the fringe fans. Like, I'm looking at the text line. Doesn't matter. They're going to lose in the first round. I've seen a lot of that. Who cares? If you're complaining about the Royals making the playoffs and losing the first round, you got serious issues, man, because we would all kill for a playoff team in baseball, whether they lose in the first round or make it all the way to the World Series. Like, if they make the playoffs this year and get bounced in the first round, that is a successful season, and JJ should get an extension, Q should get an extension, everybody should be getting paid over there at Kauffman Stadium, right? Come on, John, write the check.
Brian Sweeney should get an extension already.
My God, Brian, they ought to pay Brian Sweeney right now.
Mike's brother.
More than they're paying Q to keep him from being poached to be a manager somewhere else, right?
Yeah, Brian Sweeney, man, what was it that we all talked about last? Because you look at this, and we'll get into the tonight. I'm with you, Bob. I think tonight is 1,000% a must win.
Yeah.
Because you can't get swept by Boston. They're your foe in the playoff race. They're a half game behind you. You win today, you're a game and a half above them. Yada, yada, yada. But the thing is that you go back to like where people are, and I get it, expectations change. We use Mahomes' first year as a starter as one of those as an example where, all right, let's just see what he can do. He's a new quarterback. We know we've seen some highlights. We've seen a game in a preseason game. It didn't matter. And then it was, what, 10 touchdowns in 2 weeks and 650 yards. You're like, okay, timeout.
Right.
There's a chance this team could go to the playoffs and be a Super Bowl contender.
Uh-huh.
Same thing with the Royals. My lead the entire year on After Hours was when we start training camp on this radio station, I want the opening segment to be the Royals are still relevant and playing decent baseball or competitive baseball. They're doing more than that.
Yeah, Vinny's turned into a breakout player right now.
Which I have a conversation we can have about that, about Vinny Pasquantino as well, that I sent you a text last night about, and Mac as well. But the thing is that the Royals, as of right now, I would say, are on house money.
No question.
Without a doubt. And the chip stack is still very high.
Yeah, it is. It's a huge stack of chips.
But I also am in the belief of this team is a playoff team. Currently they are. Mm-hmm. Potentially they are. And I do feel by the end of the season, because of what I've seen, what I've heard, and the people that are the, you know, the analysts or the people that only do baseball, Doug Glanville as well, that this is the sort of team that limps into the playoffs, and then everybody goes, oh, we got to play the Royals round one.
Look at the rotation they're rolling out there.
And then all of a sudden they go, oh, shoot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, they do have these guys. Now, there is some room for concern and a conversation that could be had. Seth Lugo has not done well against Boston. Brady Singer has not done well against Boston. Right. Boston has matched up well against the Royals. Baseball is somehow still a game of matchups. But I do believe that the Royals and this pitching staff, they have done one thing that I think in tonight's game that is a must win. They've ended it. They've stopped it before the bleeding gets too bad. Whether it's two games or three games in a row, somebody comes in and is like, enough. Tonight, you get your opening day starter, the opening day ace of your staff. Sure. You get Cole Reagan and say, okay, I've had enough of this. Let's go out there and win this game. Because, I mean, sweeps are hard to come by unless you play the White Sox.
Yeah.
So if you can get this win tonight, get an off day on Thursday, play two against St. Louis, who you have said is struggling lately, and then you get Sunday off, then you gear up for Minnesota, and we have a completely different conversation. That's what this roller coaster or this Royal Caribbean cruise line ship that's been going all summer, that's what this has been. That's what baseball is. And one thing that I can give you some positive notes on is that the Royals haven't fallen out. They're not like one of these teams like Houston that was doing great, and then all of a sudden now they're four games out of the wild card. Or, you know, Tampa Bay, or maybe that's who I'm thinking of. Or, you know, Baltimore, who's, you know, been at the top. Now they're the top of the wild card. So, again, you still have pieces that you can form in your bullpen. Marsh still in AAA. Bring him up. We'll see what his role is. Chris Bubich as well. And then you got to figure out the eighth and ninth. But, again, take care of business tonight, because I do feel you're in that must-win category. And I feel like when you put Vern's show on tonight at 6 and he talks about his conversations for this game, he will say that. Tonight is a must-win game.
And also, too, you know, you have to start looking at the schedule and what that holds moving forward, right? If the Red Sox win tonight, they're ahead of the Royals in the postseason. Then both teams take tomorrow off. The Red Sox welcome in Houston, okay? Houston comes in. They're playing some decent baseball. Almost had a no-hitter last night. We flipped that one over in the ninth inning. Like, I got two outs, and then boom, home run, you know, no-hitter over at that point in time. But Cleveland and Minnesota have a doubleheader on Friday. So that series is getting ready to start on Friday in Minnesota. So if you lose this game, then you're going to lose more ground in the standings, but now you've got Cleveland and Minnesota playing each other, you know? And so that's a good thing, because now you have a chance to gain some ground back in the American League Central, whether it's on the Twins or whether it's on Cleveland. You have the opportunity to gain games. All you have to do is go take care of business versus the St. Louis Cardinals, which is coming up on Friday. So there's still ample time out there, but you have to go out there and start winning these games. Like, yeah, I do think tonight is a must-win game. I think tonight is the most important game that the Royals have had on their schedule, probably the first time in 9 years, right? I think that's safe to say. This is one of the most important games we have seen in the last decade here in Kansas City. So you go out there, you take care of business tonight, you win this game tonight, people are going to be feeling really good about this organization. Mm-hmm. And as the text line pointed out, which we've kind of touched on a little bit earlier, was that the Chiefs have killed, quote, good teams for us. Seems like we can only accept greatness now. And I think there are a lot of folks that are in that category. If you don't go to the World Series or the Super Bowl, it wasn't a successful season. And that's just not the case. If the Chiefs don't make it to the Super Bowl this year, it is not a successful season. It is a failed season for the Chiefs. That doesn't apply to the Royals. If the Royals make it into the playoffs this year and get bounced in the first round, that's a parade, right? Like, that's a celebration of a great season, because nobody was expecting them to get into the playoffs. Even if they don't make the playoffs, but they finish above 500 and they've shown us signs like, all right, this team is ready to go, and you add a couple of pieces, you know, bat-wise in the offseason, and maybe you strengthen your bullpen up in the offseason, you make those improvements, then next year the expectation is to go into the postseason and make a run. But the Royals have already had a successful season. The Royals have already done great things for everybody here in Kansas City. They brought you back to baseball. They got you excited about this team. They've got their long-term superstar player signed up. Like, everything is going right now at Kauffman Stadium. And if they don't make the playoffs, and this has been a great season. This has been the starting point for what I think is going to be long-term success. I was talking to somebody who works in minor league baseball yesterday, and he said to me, and he's with another organization, and he said to me, he goes, have you watched what's going on at Omaha? I go, I'm not really paying that much attention, you know, to what's going on down there. He goes, that team down there may win the AAA championship. And he goes, the Royals have a lot of really good prospects down there that haven't even reached the big league level yet. And hearing somebody outside the organization that I respect and trust that monitors all this kind of stuff say that, that means a lot, because a lot of times other organizations ain't giving you credit, right? Mm-hmm. This guy's like, this minor league system right now is a lot better than people are giving it credit for, and there's guys down there right now that could be up at this big league club level next year doing great things here in Kansas City. Like, it is a great time to be a Royals fan, and if the last two games have you down, I understand that you're a little upset right now, but by no means does it take away from what they've already accomplished this year and what they still have in front of them to accomplish.
The cause of concern that started the day, Yankees, Red Sox, Twins, Guardians, and Orioles. Royals combined record against those teams that are all playoff teams, 10-18.
10-18. And look, they're 51-51 against teams not named the White Sox. But they also took care of business against the White Sox.
And again, it's not doom and gloom. You're still a playoff team. You have a half game lead against the Red Sox. You're a game and a half behind the Twins for the second place wild card and second place in the division. And you are 5.5 games behind the Cleveland Guardians.
Yeah.
Guardians will play later on tonight, or they play two games
today
against Arizona D-bags. And then you have the Minnesota Twins in Chicago on the road in an early game. But again, I don't think it's time to panic. I think you should still enjoy the season. Even if it doesn't end the way you think it should, it's gone better than I bet your assumptions were going to be at the beginning of the season.
Doubleheader against Arizona today. And the Twins got the Cubs, which, you know, hey, look, the Twins have lost, what, one or two in a row. Houston and Texas are playing each other today. That's kind of a playoff type of matchup that's going on out there. The Yankees have two against the Angels today. Like, I look at today's schedule, Dusty. I'm like, today could be moving day for the Royals, Could be moving day for the Royals.
And then if you take care of business against St. Louis, and then the Twins are only a half game above you, and you play them for
all three. The pressure's on the Twins.
Hello.
Yeah.
And it would be in Minnesota, which means every day bet a Salvador Perez prop bet of a home run because he rakes at Target Field.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of fields and stadiums, we get into a little conversation here about, you know, must see or must been or where you need to go. But first, I sent you guys this yesterday. When are we going to jump the shark on stadium food?
I think we did with this one.
Did we do this?
I think this is the one that you say to yourself, okay, we're done.
Because you've got two young girls, which right. I'm sure you bought a lot of this sort of stuff at games.
I used to tell them they were out of this kind of stuff.
Yeah. So the Arizona Cardinals football stadium or football team is introducing a new menu item. No, it's not a taco. That's a quesadilla with burgers and all that sort of stuff inside with cheese and Cracker Jacks. A cotton candy burrito. Among the 50-plus new food offerings for Cardinals games this season at State Farm Stadium, this is a pink layered cotton candy.
Oh, I saw a blue one too.
The inside's the pink. So then inside that they put, looks like Fruit Loops, M&Ms, some other sort of candy, and then they wrap it again in blue cotton candy.
It looks like Cap'n Crunch is in there, I think.
The roof of your mouth is surrendering already.
Yeah, you said the M&Ms, the cotton.
It looks like
Cocoa Puffs maybe in there as well. Like
sprinkles.
Sprinkles. Yeah, there are some sprinkles
and
or Jimmies.
I think the decor looks like nerds are in there.
Oh, yeah.
M&Ms, Fruit Loops. In your life, would you ever eat something like this?
No, uh-uh.
I think they were copying my idea. We made those perfect ballpark burgers, and I made the dessert burger. They got a dessert burrito. I mean, this is great.
Looks awful.
Well, first off, I was never a cotton candy guy.
I've got
OCD with my hands.
It's so sticky.
I'm like Howie Mandel, man. Like, I'll give you a fist pound, but I'm not going to, like, shake your hand.
People get mad when you do that now. Yeah, well, like, at least you're not doing the elbow thing anymore.
Or the head nod.
Yeah.
Cotton candy never did it for me, and now you're going to eat a burrito full of cotton candy. It looks like insulation.
It does. That's exactly what it looks like. It looks like your attic, like a pipe is wrapped. Yeah.
I'm just confused on where somebody thought this was a great idea.
Well, it's not that somebody thought it was a great idea. I don't think. I think it's like, let's see what we can come up with that people will buy.
Exactly.
How about a cotton candy burrito stuffed with cereal and candy? I like it.
Yeah. What can we sell to kids that parents will have to buy?
How much do you think this goes for?
$25.
Do you know that for a fact?
No, that's just a guess. I mean, how much did that taco quesadillo thing go? That was $25, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was.
So that's just the only base I have it off of.
Is this something you eat by yourself?
You eat this in private. Because if somebody eats watches you eating that, they're like, where are the bodies?
Oh, my God. It is so disgusting.
So moving on, the Tampa Bay Rays are going to have a new stadium. That's kind of cool. As we talk about stadiums being all the sort of things, and they get the final approval to raise, you know, get out of St. Pete or get out of that Tropicana
field. I thought they were just moving, like, right next door to where they are right now. Like,
get out of that stadium. That stadium sucks.
Have you been there?
I've driven by it, and I didn't think I was like, why is this on an axis? Yeah. I was like, why is it tilted?
Yeah, I've never been in that stadium, which I'm fine with. I don't need to. You know?
But we have the question that got brought up. What's the best stadium or venue you've been to, or what is a must-have stadium? Like, it's a double-sided question. Best you've been to and the one you want to get to.
I think that's a twofold question, the best I've been to, because Atlanta is the best stadium atmosphere that I've experienced because of the Battery around it, which is what John Sherman has talked about here in Kansas City and something he would like to have. That's why, you know, if you build it out at the Legends or whatever, you can create that Battery, which is why the Crossroads never made much sense to me, because he's always talked about the Battery and he used Atlanta as the example. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable atmosphere. I mean, you don't even have to go into the game. That's how good of an atmosphere it is outside the game.
Yeah.
Best stadium for me, San Francisco is up there. We went to Philadelphia this year. That was an incredible ballpark experience for our trip. There's so many good ones out there. But I think the must-haves, I think, for everybody, are the wider the concourse is, the better, okay? And I'll even talk to the Casey Kern about that. Your concourses aren't wide enough. Should have been wider concourses out there for the current. But that's what I want. I want the ability to have wide concourses, public drinking areas, and hangout areas where you can just stand and watch the game and carry on conversation and mingle and all that kind of stuff. You know, maybe you have, you know, tables, maybe you don't, maybe it's just rails, whatever it is. Those common areas, I think, are very important. And again, and I know people don't like to hear this, but plenty of places where I can buy a beer, where I can buy a cocktail, where I can buy a hot dog. I don't want to wait in line. So the more you can have, the better it is for all of us.
T-Mobile does a really good job at that. The T-Mobile Arena,
there's like a vendor or there's a station everywhere where it's like almost instant access. Like you got the one guys that have just like the buckets full of beer on ice, got the little swiper there, boom, you're done. Or there's a couple of different venues you can go to around where the lines aren't really that long. Be there Friday night for Blink 182 concert. Can't wait.
And I think also what the one of the coolest things that I've ever experienced, and I know this is hard to do because it costs these places money, but when the Nets opened their Barclays Center, we were there for the Super Bowl that year, so we went over to a game, and every concession stand was a local Brooklyn restaurant.
Nice.
And I think like having the flavors of the city are vitally important, but that's expensive. You know, it's hard for a lot of, you know, small restaurants and places and whatnot to put a concession stand into a stadium. I understand that was an anomaly, but I'm still going to tell you, it was the best because every concession stand was something that was local to Brooklyn, and the Twins have that. If you go out to the outfield, I think it's right field, they have what they call the State Fair Concourse, and all the stuff that they serve at the Minnesota State Fair, like the fried cheese and the fried beer and the fried Oreos and the fried Twinkies and the fried, like all of that is out there that you can buy with their local beers and stuff like that too. I think it's important to be local in these stadiums.
I went to a KC Current game at their new stadium a few weeks ago. They had a lot of local,
stuff. It was Martin City's out there. Yep. You know, a lot of great places out there. But I know that's costly.
Absolutely.
For a lot of places to put their, you know, their stadium and stuff out there.
It's kind of like what the new airport did. Didn't they put a bunch of like breweries in there, local restaurants you can eat at. Not chili. We already got to that.
No chili in the airport.
Please.
I would say the best stadium I've been to is probably Coors Field.
I was going to say that too.
Coors Field is awesome in and around. It's downtown Denver. It's like super like open. It's beautiful inside. And then I would say
nobody likes downtown baseball, Dusty.
Easy, Randy.
Where are you going to park?
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. And the other thing too is the two stadiums I need to get to. I want to get to Fenway, but it's not in these two.
Total dump.
Yeah, but I'm still going to go. I don't care how bad you say it is.
I do want to sit on the monster, I think.
And the other one is I got to get to Wrigley and I got to get to PNC Park. I got to sit behind home plate or up in center
PNC
field
is beautiful.
And just look out at the Pittsburgh stadium and just be like, could you imagine? Because like it is every shot, no matter day, night, that stadium does it for you. And then Wrigleyville, the text line says, is awesome. I want to get to Wrigley. I want to see the vines. I want to be in a day game where it's Royals
Friday
Cubs.
Day game at Wrigley Field is the greatest thing ever. Somebody told me about a guy's trip that they do, and we've thought about stealing this one. Take the first flight of the day on Friday up to Chicago, do the Friday day game at Wrigley, party all day, have a good dinner, take the last flight home. You don't have to spend time at the hotel. Your wife's not pissed at you. No, forget that. I did that one time. That train's hours late. It derails. It's terrible. And you can drive faster than you can take the train to Chicago. So you take the first flight up, go all day in Chicago, take the last flight home. You wake up in your own bed. You go to bed in your own bed. Your wife's not mad at you. You don't have to take the day, you know, away from the family and all that kind of stuff. You're still home at night. Like that's the ultimate like guy's trip. If you're going to do something like that, do the Friday day game at Wrigley. I prefer the 3 o'clock game over the 1 o'clock game because it's a little bit later in the day. You can maybe take a little bit of a later flight if you don't want to get up that early on Friday morning. But either way, whether it's 1 or 3, day baseball on a Friday in Wrigley is one of the greatest sports experiences you can have. I've told John Sherman and the folks at the Royals, once a month, do a Friday day game.
Yeah.
How awesome would a Friday day game be at Kauffman Stadium or the new stadium, and then you still have your Friday night? I think it would be a great time for a lot of people.
I would like to do the Wrigley experience where maybe like Dead & Company goes back again. I know they say they're done, but maybe they go back. My buddy went to see him this year at Wrigley 2 nights in a row, said it was great. I'd like to do like the Cubs game and then go like Saturday and there's like a concert that night and just knock like 3 bucket list.
I don't know
that
you're going to have a Cubs game and a concert and back-to-back nights, though. That's kind of fiscally impossible to do that. Not fiscally, but...
why couldn't you have a Cubs game on...
Yeah,
on
logistically like, impossible. You could have a Cubs game on Thursday and then have a concert on a Saturday because I got to get the field ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair enough. There could be like a bye or a day off.
That's what I'm saying. You have a game on Thursday, concert on Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could do something like that.
I want to sit on the monster from the 816. Other people joining Bob when it comes to that.
Yeah, who doesn't want to sit on the monster?
AT&T's another runner-up for stadiums.
Incredible.
Never been.
Yeah. There's so many good ones right now. Like, there used to not be so many good ones. Like, Baltimore was always my favorite. Then everybody lapped Baltimore, even though I still think Camden Yards is an unbelievable venue. Mm-hmm. Their scoreboard's way too small.
The park's way too small.
Well, yeah, but the scoreboard is way too... All of a sudden, we've been, like, accustomed to these huge scoreboards, and, like, when Camden Yards came out, that was probably a big scoreboard. Now it's like watching a black-and-white TV. It's so tiny, so they need a bigger scoreboard out there. That was great. Pittsburgh was awesome. Milwaukee, I liked a lot.
Somebody just said Miller Park brought with the secret stadium sauce to wash down with a local brew, Spotted Cow Heaven.
That's great. That you nailed it right there.
Parlay crossed.
Yeah, you nailed it right there, Terry. I'm sure it's got to be Terry in Green Bay. Who else is weighing with that kind of Milwaukee reference, right? Yeah. But there's there's ones that you don't need to go to. Like, I've been to the White Sox stadium now a couple of times. I think in the next couple of days, they're probably going to announce plans for a new stadium as well up there. I think.
Do you need to go to Comerica Park in Detroit?
Everybody says that's a good experience.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I brought that up, because everyone's like, it's beautiful. It's nice. Yeah. It's great. When you get in there, it's spacious.
Like, everybody says that is a great experience. I have not done Detroit yet.
Somebody says, Fenway is weird. You walk through the gates and you're right at the field already.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. you're right there. Yeah, well, yeah, because it's a small stadium. Like, you're not going to move around much in Fenway. It's tight quarters and whatnot, and they have to watch the Red Sox, but hey.
Right. Fesco in the Morning brought to you by Rainier Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainierKC.com. Charles Barkley, dynasties not getting the respect they deserve, and other things involved before we get to Matt Quatrero at 9 o'clock here on Fesco in the Morning. Matt Morey, Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco. You're listening to 610 Sports Radio. Back here on Fesco in the Morning, a way back Wednesday, 913-586-7610. You've only got an hour left. Actually, you've only got 3 segments left because Hey Matt comes up in about 10 minutes as Matt Quatrero, the skipper for the Royals, will join us.
That's right.
Should be some fun. I have a fun question for him because I love the stones he showed last night to walk the bases loaded.
Oh, irrelevant, yeah.
Towards the end, but yeah. I was like, look at him. Look at that walk. This is a big move in the game here. But
Watching Adley Rutschman in college get walked with the bases loaded.
Yeah. Remember when Showalter walked Bonds to walk a run in before he was going to let him hit a home run?
It's the smart thing to do.
Oh, I loved
it. It's the absolute smart thing to do. If you got a guy that's murdering you up there, there's no reason to pitch to him.
It's like, I think Brett got intentionally walked too.
Why would you ever throw a pitch to Bobby Witt?
They're starting to get sparse, I can tell you that much. But it is a way back Wednesday, 913-586-7610. You send in a song, you put your name attached to it, Mac will do the rest. Mac, where does this one come from and whom does it come from?
Bubba sent this request in. Bubba. This is Jimi Hendrix, Voodoo Child.
You know who Jimi Hendrix is?
Yes. Thanks, okay. Bob.
Well, Patrick Starfish. We've lost Bob for 10 seconds. It's okay, though. Do you know who Lindsay Buckingham is? That's tough.
I love her. She was great.
Walter Pennington's
Lindsay
grandma,
Buckingham or? Was the lead singer in the Monkees.
Gotcha.
Now, he's the greatest guitarist of all time. Speaking of the greatest of all time, Bob, please maintain lone tones. The number one dynasty of all time is the 1972 Miami Dolphins.
That's what they tell us, right? Mm-hmm. They went undefeated. Fine.
You know who's not on this top 10 list? The Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, there's people debating whether or not they're a dynasty because people are stupid.
This is from the 33rd team. I wanted to get into this real quick before we leave and have Matt Quatrero join us on the other side. Dolphins, number one of the 72 Dolphins. Greatest ranking. Oh, I'm sorry. This is the best teams. Best teams. Not
best
dynasties.
Teams.
Best teams. Best teams, 1972 Dolphins, undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, 1985 Bears.
Okay, they were great on defense. Offensively, they scored like 4 points a game.
Had a stud at quarterback.
No, they did not.
The headband?
He was terrible.
Sunglasses?
He was an awful quarterback. He looked good, but he wasn't a good quarterback.
1984 49ers, number three. 1989 49ers, number four. They got two.
Two.
1992 Dallas Cowboys at five. And then quickly, 78 Steelers at 6, 62 Packers at 7.
Sure.
99 Rams at 8. Use the new logo, not the old one. Disrespect. Number 9, the 2007 Patriots. And number 10, the 1991
Commanders.
How could you put the 2007 Patriots on there when they didn't win the Super Bowl?
Well, they did go 16-0.
So,
but for what?
But for what? They're a footnote, right? They didn't win the Super Bowl. The 99 Rams are legit on that list. People forget they were the sixth best defense in the league that year. Like, they were really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these 49er teams, I'm just not a 49er guy. The 78 Steelers, fine. You tell me that. 62 Packers, no clue. How many of these teams right now, I'm not going to say would beat the Chiefs' best team, which I also think the Chiefs' best team, if you're asking me what the best Chiefs team of this dynasty is, it's the team that lost to Tampa in the Super Bowl. I think that was the most well-rounded team until they got hurt. But anyway, whatever team you think is the best of this run, which teams scare you on that list to play? Like, I wouldn't want to play the 85 Bears because their defense was unbelievable.
07 Patriots.
That would be a scary team to play.
I mean, I know Trent McDuffie would be good, but man, like 07 Randy Moss, like still being able to do it, get up there and be dominant with Tom Brady back there. Plus, they had that defense anchored on the other side as well. That's probably my number one answer.
Yeah.
Commanders in 91 or the Redskins in 91, that's a dangerous team.
That's a dangerous team, man. Williams was so good that year.
That was a dangerous team.
Yeah.
62 Packers. Come on, 62. Maybe the Cowboys in 95. They had a really good defense. They had a good offense. They had the three-headed monster. They kind of took the Chiefs offense last year and made it, you know, Michael Irvin, Rashee Rice.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to put it in the same category, but like obviously Emmitt Smith better. They leaned on their running game to open up their passing game. Moose Johnson, all those type
that
of
offensive
plays.
Line was sick. They had a good defense.
D line
as well.
Was great.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. That's fine.
Those would be my three. Everybody else can kick rocks.
Yeah.
72 Dolphins get housed.
Yeah. Especially if they're playing with the old men, but like the 85 Bears defense scares me. The 99 Rams were a really good team. I still think they're an underrated team because they did nothing with that 99 Rams team. Like there was no real jumping off point. Dick left after the year. They came back the following year, 2001 or whatever it was, made the Super Bowl, obviously under Martz. That's when the Patriots cheated and won that Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rams, you know, fell apart from there and ended up moving to Los Angeles. So they didn't capitalize on that. And that's when the other thing that you look at with the Chiefs right now, they're capitalizing on their success. They're not winning and falling apart. You know, the 91 Commanders, Redskins that year, did not do anything after that. The 2007 Patriots did not win the Super Bowl. The Rams didn't capitalize on that kind of stuff. The Dallas Cowboys did fall apart pretty quick, too. When Jimmy Johnson left, they kind of fell apart. I know they won that one Super Bowl with Barry Switzer. That was Jimmy's team. They haven't done anything since then, right? So you look at all these teams on here, and some had some staying power, but what the Chiefs are doing right now and the staying power that they have is remarkable, Dusty.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. Something that's also interesting that we called this, I think, a little bit. Charles Barkley ain't going anywhere. He will not retire. Instead, he will stay with TNT Sports and complete his 10-year, $210 million contract. Talk about things that you love to see.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Barkley, where's he ranked for you guys when it comes to sportscasters?
Well, I think he's one of the most important and one of the most influential sportscasters out there right now. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that is because they're talking about putting him on hockey coverage, baseball coverage, college basketball, college football coverage with TNT, like all things not NBA. And I think that's great. I love the fact that Charles Barkley is getting potentially an expanded role out there. And these media companies are starting to realize that entertaining broadcasters are more important and better than a guy who's going to give you statistical nerd stats or be a guy who may have played that game before that's going to be dry on the set. And I love the fact, like what we're seeing with Snoop Dogg at the Olympics right now, right? That guy's dressed in a horse outfit at dressage and people are paying attention because he's such an entertaining, just, you know, charismatic, fun guy that you want to see on TV. And I think people are starting to learn in the media industry that you don't need somebody to sit there and break down the X's and O's of the game for you. The greatest of all time was John Madden. I don't know what he was talking about football-wise, but he was as entertaining as they get. And Charles Barkley falls into that category. And I love the fact that we may see Charles Barkley in October baseball, in October college football. We love him in March Madness. At least I do. I know some people at the beginning were mad because he didn't know the players. I don't know any players, and neither does America. Nobody cares about the players. It's all about the bracket and the upsets and stuff like that. Seeing him on a hockey broadcast. Charles Barkley, man, is the king right now. And I think he is arguably the most influential current voice in sports. I put him up there with Bob Costas. And the other guy that I put on that list, you're going to laugh, it's Adam Schefter. Everybody focuses on what Adam Schefter is saying about the most important league out there.
I like Jay Blazer or Glazer.
Glazer's good. And the reason Glazer's I like great. Jay Glazer is because he doesn't live on Twitter.
No.
He just drops his bombs on his show like, I don't know, like you used to do back in the day.
Yeah. I also will listen to anything Kevin Harlan does.
Kevin's great.
Yeah.
He just Legend. Brings the energy, brings the emotion, yeah. plus local talk.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Guys, and Tirico. Mm-hmm. I love Tirico as well. He's been great on the Olympics, of course, once again. Mac, you got one that, like, got to tune into?
Yeah, Bill Simmons for me is my guy. Yeah, okay. I think his commentary on free sports agent. Is really, really important. Yeah.
Bill Simmons, free Bill agent. Simmons. Someone who's not a free agent that should be up for Coach of the Year will join us on the other side. Matt Quatrero joins Fesco in the morning here on 610 Sports Radio as we talk all things Royals coming up on the other side.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile.
you can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.